We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors is sponsored by Intervine. Get the best camping lanterns, flashlights, and more at Intervine.com.
All right.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us this week. My name is Tony Colombo, in studio with producer Chad Ellis and my partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, how's it going?
I'm doing good, Tony. How are you guys doing?
You know, I can't complain. It's a crazy world. There's lots to talk about. But, you know, I'm trying to focus on the positive as much as possible.
Absolutely.
How about you?
Yeah. Is it a net positive experience? Is life a net positive experience? Is it more positive than negative?
Currently, the experience is probably a net positive if you stay away from the television and social media.
So ain't that really the truth? It's a catch 22.
I tell you what, you know, it's interesting to, you know, to be on these talk stations in St. Louis because, you know, you really do get the truth in talk radio. When it comes to network television, it is so divisive and it's so absurd. Because the other night on the RNC, we heard from the governor of Iowa, very, very impressive lady that is the governor up there. And I had no idea at all that Iowa was decimated by this huge storm. And I think, was it Tony that you sent out the name and the explanation of that storm with the 100-mile-an-hour winds? Do you know what I'm talking about? Because
I know
it was
about
never
the storm.
Reported.
I didn't send out. Yeah, I don't think I was the one that sent out any information, but I am aware of that. I'm aware of that storm. What did they call it? Like the 100-year storm or something like that? Or
well, it had a name, and I can't remember what the name is. But the funny thing was, is you know, when we flooded in '93, we had people from all over the region and beyond come in to help us.
Sure.
You know, with water and sandbagging and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if I would have known how bad that storm was, I would have went. I would have went to help because they helped us so many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew me away. And it just proved that it's such a disservice on network television, network news channels. It's like, come on, let's tell the real story of America, not just what you want people to believe.
There are so many things that happen in the world today that just a few years ago would have dominated the news cycles that don't even get discussed
yeah, like
anymore.
The, because, almost like the two hurricanes that are
yeah,
coming.
Yeah, because Trump has dominated the headlines so much and has been the sole focus of the media by and large since his arrival on the political scene that it's all we talk about is whatever
all
Trump
we hear about.
And the Democrats. Yeah, all we hear about, all the media talks about is, you know, Trump and the Democrats and their war and whatever. And things that used to get, you know, types of stories like this storm and other events that have happened over the last few years that would used to have been news-making events right. don't even get talked about anymore because we're so focused on the palace intrigue with Trump and Pelosi and Biden and the election and coronavirus.
Yeah, we're being fed.
Yeah.
And it's just heartbreaking. But anyway, my heart goes out to those in Iowa. I had no idea, and I'm so sorry I didn't.
Yeah, it was actually a part. This storm hit Iowa, Nebraska, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Michigan before it started losing steam. So it's crazy. Wow. Over 200,000 people without power.
It was, yeah, okay. So the name of it that I thought you had sent out was Derrico.
Yep.
Dereco.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So anyway, it just ripped up so much. But anyway, hi guys.
Hey everybody. So yeah, lots to talk about today. We are a little bit later in the show going to talk some fishing. We're going to get out in the great outdoors a little bit later on. Talk to our buddy Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. That really cool catfish tournament, the Alton Catfish Classic, is just a few weeks away. So we're going to talk to him about that. So that'll be some fun stuff. We're also going to dive into all the stories of the week. We had the RNC this week, the DNC last week. So we're going to have some reaction to that specific to the Second Amendment. Our friend Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller, a columnist from the Daily Caller. If you've listened to 97.1 for any amount of time, I don't know if she's been on KMOX before or not, probably. Virginia's been a part of many of the shows on 97.1, so you're probably familiar with her and her work at the Daily Caller. She has been focused on the conventions for the last couple of weeks, and we're going to talk to her about the election, and not just nationally, but also locally, like the governor election here in the state of Missouri, and its potential effects on your Second Amendment rights. How much impact could these elections really have on gun laws and Second Amendment rights and all of that stuff? So we'll get to all those answers and have a great discussion with Virginia Cruda coming up in the next segment. And right now, we will start the show the way we always start the show, with our friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, great to talk with you, my friend. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Cannot complain, sir. How's everything at the shop?
Still hopping, but we're still getting in ammo, and we're still getting in guns. 10 more AR-15s coming in from our manufacturer, and we had somebody in the shop the other day who was amazed that we had a bunch of ammo sitting on the shelves. He's like, I go everywhere, and I can't find any. So if you need ammo, you need guns, come down. We're getting ready to start classes back up.
Cool.
Got that all those beats, so, details worked out. Yeah, what's up?
So I know that 2020 has given every reason under the sun to buy a gun, and we've talked about that all year, whether it be coronavirus or the social unrest and, you know, all these new gun buyers. But you mentioned the AR-15s, and we saw, obviously, the McCloskeys have been such a part of the news cycle here lately, and Mark McCloskey and his AR-15, you know, have been a national story. Has that McCloskey story had an impact on gun sales? Like, that specific story, have you heard any, you know, has that seemed to spike sales in AR-15s, or were AR-15s already popular enough on their own and didn't need Mark McCloskey to help sell them?
Yeah, they were already super popular to begin with, and did not need any help selling them. The big thing with the AR-15s is they're hard to get, and so we had to work out logistics like anything. You know, ammo was hard to get, guns were hard to get, everything, and the industry has been hard to get, so we had to work out logistically, you know, how we're going to get that. And
why is that? Why is that specifically that AR-15s are hard to get?
Well, it's just a high demand item. So, you know, your ammunition, a little bit more starting to come out now. Like, ammunition is hard to get because the manufacturers of the primers are having trouble getting the raw material to make the actual primer. And the primers, like a little circle on the back of the case that you punch with the firing pin, and it sets off, goes through what we call flash hole, and then goes into the actual case itself and ignites the powder. And so that starts the chain reaction, and that's been hard to get because the manufacturers are having trouble getting the raw materials. So they're predicting ammunition shortages through 2021, maybe even into 2022.
Wow.
So with all that being said, a lot of the primers, a lot of people don't realize this, a lot of the primers, there's government contracts out there because government buys ammunition for, you know, the law enforcement side and for national defense and civil defense and all this other stuff. And so a lot of these primers are going to these ammunition manufacturers, but these ammunition manufacturers are having to fulfill these government contracts. And so the commercial market, right, some people go, oh, it's the civilian market. It's the commercial market and the government market, right, are competing against one another for the same stuff and for the same product. And the government market's going to win out because, you know, your Winchesters, your Remingtons, your Hornadays, et cetera, are not wanting to lose those government contracts because they're big government contracts. And then what they do is the overrun gets sold off to the commercial market. So that's what's going on. So you're gonna see this ammunition shortage continue, and if you're a reloader, it's gonna continue as well. Glock.
You know, that's what my question was going to be, Aaron, was for those that reload, and I don't do it myself. I don't trust myself because, you know, we're talking dangerous materials with black powder and stuff like that, gunpowder. Is it really straining those that, and usually guys that reload have tons of, you know, tons of supplies. But at Southern Armory, do you guys offer the reloading supplies?
We do. And so we do have some powder and primers and kind of odds and ends. But nothing like it was, you know, prior. So we're having trouble getting the projectiles and the cases, just like everybody else. And it'll come up, and it'll be like, hey, we've got, you know, 7 pounds or 8 pounds. You know, we'll go get these 1 pound jugs of you know, powder. But you know, we do have a limited amount of stuff there. And you are right. You know, the reloaders, you know, they buy stuff in quantity. You know, I reload, and I still got a 4 pound jug. It might be a 4 pound jug of powder for my pistol ammunition, and it's really a broad spectrum. It reloads all your handguns from.
And is there a concern of it going bad? Like, how do you store it to make sure, like a dehumidifier or something like that?
Keep it dry. That's the, yeah. That's the thing I'll tell you. And you get some of these guys that are a little over the top, and they have like nitrogen. And they'll take nitrogen and they'll top off the actual jug itself. Now I've got buddies that do the same thing with, like, you know, automotive stuff, like, you know, brake fluid. They'll put nitrogen over the top of it because it stops the oxygen from getting his moisture. And it's fine if you've got. Then I'm not saying everybody run out and buy a nitrogen, you know, canister. But if you've got the ability, you have nitrogen tires or whatever. You know, more power to you. I don't personally.
Yeah, I'm not that guy. Don't worry, I'm not that guy.
I just keep it in a cool, dry place and call it good. So,
Aaron, you were talking about you were just getting ready to mention the classes starting back up with all these new first time gun owners out there in the area. We know that they're there because you and the other stores in town have been selling guns to a lot of first-time gun owners this year. And unfortunately, they haven't been able to get very much training because of the coronavirus and restrictions on having gatherings and things like that. What's the latest there?
So we are going to start those up. You can get more details. Call a shop, 314-965-4867. That's 965-GUNS. And get put on the list. We'll send out an email. And so basically it's going to be a hybrid class. It'll be some virtual. We're all getting, you know, the Zoom has taken over is what it seems. And we'll work through all the NRA stuff together.
Can you legally, can you get your CCW over Zoom, over virtual calls, or do you have to be in person to get that certificate legally?
So, and so that was the big question is like, well, how...
Uh-oh. Aaron, are you still there?
He did say that was a good question.
I know he did, but then we lost him.
We don't have a good answer. Dang it.
We had a good question, but not a good answer. Aaron, are you there? All right. Well, we lost Aaron Tarlow. Make sure that if you want to get an answer to that question, you can give him a call out there at Southern Armory. Check them out on the web at southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
Yeah, that's right. And Southern Armory on Facebook also is a great place to keep up with Aaron. And we'll get that question answered next week. Right now, we got to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk to our friend Virginia Caruta from the Daily Caller. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. All
right. There's something wrong with this plot. The actors here have not got a clue. Baby, I'm howling.
It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Tony Colombo continues his vacation. He'll be back here next week, I'm sure, because there's so much going on. We can't live without him. Thanks to executive producer Chad Ellis for doing what he does best, picking out fantastic music. Trace Atkins again there. We do kind of have a theme going. Trace Atkins is just a great country boy. Chad, you're doing a good job. Are you enjoying the music? That's the question.
Actually, I am. I found a weird little niche to country music because of the storytelling, and I am very much so a storytelling kind of person when it comes to music. So everything that I listen to, I kind of need it to have substance, buddy, and to say real words.
Okay, expect your phone to be blown up because I have all these songs populating in my head just on what you said. You love storytelling? I got you, man. I got you. It is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, and I want to thank Aaron Tarlow for being on the show, Linda Lipka so far, and of course, if you missed any portion of the program or you want to share this program, please share it. Share the podcast because we put out the podcast of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors on Fridays, and if not, maybe moments before that, and then we also do a podcast exclusive that is exclusive on Mondays. But so I got to thinking last night, in the world that we're living in, it is just crazy. And we just, you know, sometimes you don't know what to believe. So, you know, everybody has to really decipher what is and discern what is truth and what is not. And so I got to thinking about people that are in their isolation situation. Okay. There's a lot of single people, males and females, a lot of single mothers out there. And it got me to thinking about how many single moms carry a concealed weapons permit, or have they gone to training, or do they believe in firearms? And immediately my mind went to a guest that has been on before, Megan Turnbow. I've only known as a big game hunter for so long, and she's always been my go-to when I had questions. Megan, welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thanks for having me back.
What was amazing is I simply texted the words last night, "Are you a CCW kind of girl?" And you said, "Now, Bo, you know that I'm an NRA instructor." I did not know that. And you definitely have your CCW. So how often are you doing classes in this time frame? Are you doing any classes?
Actually, right now, I haven't done a class in a long time. I used to do classes with Sheriff Marshak out in Jefferson County, and hopefully we'll get those started back up soon. But he's pretty busy with everything he's doing as he's sheriff. However, I've had my CCW permit since the beginning of time when it was allowed in Missouri. So I'm very...
And about what era was that, do you think?
I'm trying to think. Probably...
Well, you know what? Let's take it...
16 years ago? I don't know.
Let's take the question further, because I asked Aaron Tarlow earlier in the program, at what age did you fire your first firearm?
Oh, my goodness. I was probably 5 or 6 years old, to be honest with you. I've been in the outdoors all my life. My dad and family always had firearms, rifles, pistols, shotguns. So I started out at a very young age.
It always intrigues me to find out, because it sounded like you had a family, a village around you to show you how to do it properly, how to respect firearms. So do you have people that talk to you or ask you, or even in classes you've held before, maybe single moms that have never held a firearm, but in the headlines that we see are worried. They want to protect their family. Number one, safety, to keep the firearm, you know, locked up and safe until you need it. Do you get those kind of questions from your circle?
Actually, I get it all the time, Bo. And what I do with women specifically is we'll go to a range. There's some places around St. Louis, like the range off of Manchester Road, that offer classes specifically for women who've never shot before. I like doing those with women that haven't done that before because they can train them. I can assist while they're shooting, and it gives a lot of good information. I'm also a member of Top Gun in Arnold, and
it is
a great place, and I'm always available to answer questions with regards to firearms because it's really nothing to mess with, to be honest with you. It's a firearm. It shoots bullets. You can hurt somebody, kill somebody with that. However, with the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's my right to be able to carry a firearm, and I choose to do so, especially right now with all of the, all of the craziness going on with the world, with the people protesting, and just the violence increase that we've seen lately. And me being single as well, I definitely want to be able to defend myself if something happens.
A point that I want to make, Megan. Megan Turnbow is our guest. She's an NRA instructor. She's held classes, many classes, works with the Jefferson County Sheriff, Dave Marshak. It's not impossible. Now, you had the exception of you had a village of family and friends that, you know, you were raised around guns. So you were very comfortable early on because you learned to respect them and you learned to fear them.
Right.
It isn't impossible for somebody that's never held a gun before. A couple of weeks ago, we had a buddy of mine on, never owned a gun at 62 years old, went to a CCW class. It is not impossible to think, oh, well, I didn't grow up around it. I can't get one. You can be trained correctly, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. And just because you have the CCW permit doesn't mean you know how to properly secure, clean, and work a firearm. You need to practice it just like anything else. If you're in baseball, you need to practice it. If you're in volleyball, you need to practice it. Hunting, sure. Whatever it
Cooking.
May be.
Cooking, anything, Cooking. Yeah.
Right. You have to practice and you have to learn correctly. So just because you have the CCW doesn't mean that, oh my gosh, I can carry a concealed firearm and know how to use it. So my recommendation, ladies, and I'll be happy to get a class together if needed, if people are interested, even one-on-one classes, learn how to work it and know what firearm feels good in your hand and you sure. feel comfortable with it because you need to be able to take that firearm out wherever it may be and be able to fire it quickly if needed to protect you so you're not a victim or your children as well. So my recommendation,
that goes for men too. I do want to point out, yes, this conversation is to women primarily, but also men, because let me tell you, you are better off as being safe by using and going to a CCW class with an NRA instructor like Megan, because when I took my now wife, when we were dating, I took her out shooting and I was just so excited that she had any interest and she had never shot a gun in her life. I was not an instructor. I was just excited about the fact that she wanted to do something with me that I had an interest in. And you know what? It was a 357 Magnum. I didn't even think about ear protection. I was so excited. Her ears
right.
rang for 2 weeks.
Oh,
so it's something simple like that.
Right. And it's a 357 Magnum. I would never have somebody start off with a 357 Magnum because that could scare them off. So I always start with like a 22 because it doesn't right. kick. You can learn how to aim it and shoot it without it kicking. It's easy to load, unload. So I always start out there. Then I'll go up to like a 380, then a 9mm. And I'll do that for males and females because you don't know their background. You don't know how comfortable they'll feel with holding that a firearm in their hands. It's not a weapon until yeah. you utilize it. So I always do that. And I'm actually taking one of my friends who hasn't ever shot a gun before. I'm taking him Saturday to teach him as well. But my suggestion is go to a range that has different types of firearms like Top Gun. You can hold it, feel it, shoot it, and figure out which one feels good in your hand, and that should be the one that you would want to do for a carry and conceal. I don't recommend a 22. I recommend 380, 9mm or higher, just for the knockdown power.
Yeah, because the rangers, they will rent you the gun, correct?
Absolutely, they will. With my membership, I don't have to rent them. I get them, but I do have to pay for the ammo that I utilize with it. But go to a place like Top Gun, put the gun in your hand, shoot it, see if it feels good. But remember, you have to wear eye protection and ear protection. Please remember that.
Really? Hold on. Let me write that note down here. I felt so bad, but we are still together. I mean, that wasn't a deal breaker, thank goodness. I didn't know you at that point, I guess, or I didn't have your number. You know what, Megan Turnbow, thank you so much. I have mad respect for your skills. Are you making it through? Everything okay with the isolation? Are you going nuts? You know, you mentioned the world is crazy. I believe that the world is vibrating with all this uncertainty. And I think that that's why I choose to carry as well, because you don't know when somebody's going to snap in front of you.
Well, and that's the truth. And it'll be at the least, you know, places you expect it. I mean, it's happened in movie theaters. It happens in stores. It happens outside. Sure. You really don't know. So having your carry and conceal for me is very important, and you'll get used to it. It's just like an everyday thing now. I certainly don't want to be the victim. And for the single women out there, or not, if you have children, to be able to protect your children is what you want to do. But please learn safety and know how to put your gun up at night and where the children don't get it, and just learn the basics. And learn them well.
And know what to expect from it. Well, Megan Turnbow, thank you so much for your time on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We will talk again soon, okay?
My pleasure. Thank you, Bo.
Awesome. Okay, the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, this segment brought to you by Razorback Armory, your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. They've been in business a long time. They know what they're talking about. Heck, they probably know Megan, and they want to know you as well. On Manchester Road, half mile east of 270 on Manchester, you tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory. We've got more of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors coming up next.
5 years later, there's a plumber working on the water heater. Dogs barking, phones ringing, one kid's crying, one kid's screaming, and she keeps apologizing. He says they don't.
Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Tony Colombo's on vacation, but Chad Ellis, the executive producer, and myself are making it happen. And I just heard a story. I just met a guy a couple of weeks ago, and then I heard a story last night about his daughter, and it's in regards to firearms. Now, we just talked to Megan Turnbow. She said she was, you know, very young, but she had a group of family and friends that were all about firearms, so she grew up with them very safely as well. I want to welcome Sean Daniels to the show, because Sean's daughter was very familiar with firearms at a young age, so much so that it was an experience that she had at, I believe it was school, that she really showed her skills when it came to firearms. Sean, welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, sir.
Oh, it's great to talk with you and be on the station today.
You have got a lot of pride when you talk about your daughter. She is a St. Louis County police officer now, but take me back to that, to when she was growing up. You're all about firearms. You showed her how to do it right.
Sure. Well, many, many, many years ago, my daughter's now 23, back when she was very young, I was around firearms all my life, and had wonderful parents who allowed me to basically get a super nice collection. We did a lot of shooting, gunsmithing, reloading, did a lot of competition shooting back in the day. I had three children. Unfortunately, my oldest one, no longer with us, he passed away in February of last year, but Mike was a fanatic, loved to shoot, loved the shooting sports. My daughter loved it, and I was a federally licensed firearms dealer for a number of years back in the 80s and 90s, and I put some stuff away for the children, and my daughter got her first experience going out to the property we have and doing some target shooting, which she absolutely loved.
About what age was she, do you think?
Pardon me?
About how old was she? About how old was she?
Lizzie was probably, I would say, 10. I'd say 10. I would say 10 years old.
Okay.
She'd been around this stuff, but to where she really, we felt comfortable where she'd be able to get out and handle something small. And
okay.
We took out, it was a little Winchester lever action 22, and she really showed a lot of enjoyment and became very, very, very good with the shooting, in the shooting sports. She had extremely excellent vision. I mean, she was just putting the rounds through the same hole in the target, and I was very impressed.
Wow.
Yeah, she was very, very good. I was very proud of her. And as she got older, we worked our way up, and Liz loved shooting anything. When she got in her mid-teen years, it was not uncommon for her to say, "Dad, take the old M1 Garand out, or can you take the Springfield out?" Or we had some. The biggest one we had was a Winchester 375 Holland Magnum, and she says, "Dad, I want to shoot the 375." Loved shooting the 45, the 44 Magnum. I mean, this gal was not afraid of anything. Would sit there and rack off round after round after round of 12 gauge with double aught buck coming out the barrel. I mean, you know, that's a heavy load. She loved it and was not afraid of it. She respected it, but she was very, very good. And
Her with the law enforcement.
Well, when she was in high school, and I believe this was either her junior or senior year, she had the opportunity to go with I think four or five other students down to the FBI building here in St. Louis, and she went down there just to see what it was all about. And one of the agents was showing him, you know, the lab down there, and then taking him into the gun room where they had all the firearms in there, and he took a Thompson submachine gun. It was a 1928 A1 model, I believe. And he says, "Who knows what this is?" And my daughter says, "Oh, that's a Thompson submachine gun." And he kind of looked, and he says, "Oh, okay. That's." He says, "That's great, you know." And he says, "You know, do you know much about it?" She says, "Well, you know, it shoots the 45 caliber, the automatic pistol cartridge." And he says, "Well, does anybody know why they call it a submachine gun?" And, of course, my daughter being around me, she says, "Well, it doesn't fire a rifle cartridge. It fires a subcaliber or a pistol cartridge." Well, they just kind of hit it off, and it's showing her, like, some of the AR-15s that they carried, the M4 models and stuff, and she knew. And he was just so impressed that when this was over, she was talking with him, and she had her picture taken with an FBI, like a windbreaker, and she's holding the Thompson. And she still has it in her room. And every time I look at it, I just think, this is great. You know, that she really was interested in law enforcement prior to that, but this really got her revved up. And
got her hooked, yeah.
Really.
And so her trajectory is that she has now become, at 23, a county police officer, St. Louis County, and as a father, and you and your wife are, when we see the headlines today, you know she has the skill set. She is going to be as safe as possible in this crazy world we're living in. How does it feel to be parents of a police officer today?
Well, you know, I have a lot of respect for her. We do a lot of praying, both my wife and I and our family. This is something that she wanted to do. And she did 4 years at Southeast Missouri State in Cape Girardeau in criminal justice and went through the police academy down there last year. And when this all ended in December, when she graduated from the academy, she contacted St. Louis County and arranged for an interview. And they were extremely impressed with her, impressed with her grades. And they offered her a job, and she was pinned on April 10th of this year.
Wow.
It was a great, great deal. We got to meet the new police chief, Mary Barton, and she seems like a real great gal, very tough, and it's a tough job. But both my wife and I are 100% behind her every time she leaves for work, and she's actually working today through Sunday. So they work 4 10-hour days. My wife always says, "We'll see you tonight. Be safe." And Dad always says the same thing he's always said: "Watch their hands and never turn your back on anyone." And I say repeatedly every time she leaves, if I'm here, it is, you know, you wonder how everything is going to go.
Of course,
pray that they come home. We had an issue this past weekend, Saturday, where we lost the officer in the city. Nobody wants to get that call. His father was interviewed. I didn't see it. I do not know how his father was able to talk after dealing with that loss. That was awful. And that's the one thing that, you know, I hope we never get. But
of course.
I will say that she's had a wonderful experience. The officers and individuals she works with are fantastic. She has such respect for them. She loves her job. She looks forward to going every day. And it's great. She wants to help. She wants to serve. She wants to help those out there that are in need. And I could tell you stories. It would take more than this radio show of just in her short, what, 6-7 months of people and assisted.
Sean Daniels is the father of a St. Louis County police officer, Liz. And I've got to ask you, because she's so new to the department, is there any kind of, rookie pranks that the other cops pull on? Has she talked about any of that stuff, or has she just been part of the team? She's moved up, you know, from the farm team to the pros. Now she's part of this team. There's no initiation crap that goes on. It's just she's now part of their team.
No, she's basically part of the team. She was with a field training officer from her first day on duty, and she did serve time in another district. She's in the fourth, but she was actually up in the second, which went up more north, up towards the airport. She's had a great time. They spoke very highly of her. She was very professional. Again, she just she loves the job. There was no real and they basically at first, you know, you just kind of watch, and then I guess basically it was almost within the first week, I believe, she was driving the vehicle. She was walking up and doing the stops. And, of course, her FTO field training officer was watching to make sure everything was right. The kind of neat thing was her first day by herself was last month. It was August 3rd, and it just happened that way. That was her big brother, who's no longer with us. That would have been his 29th birthday, and that was her first day by herself. And how that happened, I think we had some help from upstairs. I think her brother may have been involved. I think she's got a good guardian angel with her, Bo. I really do.
I would agree, and we will keep Liz in our prayers for sure. My wife and I say our prayers every night, and our first responders and law enforcement and our military are always in there. Sean Daniels, a new friend and a fast friend of mine, we're going to keep him on for the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors podcast exclusive, which will be launched and put out there on Monday. But he's a gun guy, so we're going to talk guns in the podcast exclusive, and I don't want you to miss that. Tony Colombo will be back from vacation and joining the program with us next week. So on behalf of Chad Ellis, our executive producer, my name is Bo Matthews. I hope you have a great week. Be safe. This is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
This has been Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, sponsored by Intervine. Get the best camping lanterns, flashlights, and more at intervine.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.